Good evening. If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 2. Proverbs, chapter 2. And I'm going to read the entire chapter before the preaching of God's word. Proverbs, chapter 2. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds victory in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. For he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you and understanding will guard you. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse, who leave the straight paths to walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. It will save you also from the adulteress, from the wayward wife with her seductive words, who has left the partner of her youth and ignored the covenant she made before God. For her house leads down to death and her paths to the spirits of the dead. None who go to her return or attain the paths of life. Thus, you will walk in the ways of good men and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will live in the land, and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the unfaithful will be torn from it. Join with me as we pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for its clarity, for its simplicity, and for its depth, that the youngest person can understand it, and the wisest and the oldest can gain wisdom from it. So I pray that you would help me to explain it and proclaim it and preach it in a way that it deserves and in a way that would honor you. Lord Jesus, come and teach your people. While you were on this earth, they called you good teacher. And we call you good teacher. Come and teach us, I pray. In your name, amen. Well, this sermon is entitled The ABCs of Proverbs. I'm calling it that because Proverbs 2 is one long poem with 22 verses. You'll notice that even in English and in Hebrew, it has 22 verses. And that's how many letters there are in the Hebrew alphabet. Now, you see that sometimes in the Bible. For example, the book of Lamentations, every chapter has 22 verses, except for chapter 3, the middle chapter, and it has 66, so 22 times 3. Some of the Psalms are that way. There's other portions of Scripture that are clearly meant to evoke the Hebrew alphabet, to remind you of the Hebrew alphabet. And in the same way, Proverbs 2 is doing the same thing. It's harking back to the Hebrew alphabet. And that's just a way of saying, just as you begin school, learning your ABCs, just as you begin kindergarten with A, B, C, and singing the song, chapter 2 of Proverbs is saying, this is the first class, this is the first grade, this is kindergarten in Lady Wisdom's school. Now, we've seen wisdom is inviting you and me to school. We've seen she's ready to teach you. She's ready to pour out your heart, her heart to you, to give herself to you. But wisdom, though, is a dangerous teacher to ignore. She's far more dangerous than any kindergarten teacher typically is. If you ignore her, then when you are in the clutches of terrible circumstances brought about by your own folly, when the trap is snapped on you, she won't be of any help. She has a promise that once that has happened, that she will bail you out, that she will protect you, she'll get you out of it. She, on the other hand, she will be very obvious and close, and maybe right there. You'll see her then, but she will only mock you with what could have been. She'll only mock you for what you don't have. And so Lady Wisdom is a dangerous teacher to ignore. But you're here. You're here. You've come to Lady Wisdom's kindergarten class in Proverbs chapter 2. You want wisdom. You're ready to learn. So you've put your coat and your backpack in your little kindergarten cubby, and you're sitting down at your little table, and you're ready to begin kindergarten in the school of wisdom. And here's where you begin. Here's lesson one, the ABCs of wisdom. Lesson one is, you gotta want it. You got to want it. How much do you want wisdom? How much do you want wisdom? It's the same question that meets potential Navy SEALs that they're confronted with in the very first week of their training. The very first week is nothing but cold, pain, wet, physical training with mere hours of sleep for the whole week. By day three, they talk about it's normal that you are hallucinating. And if you survive the first week, what are you a SEAL? Are you ready to begin? Are you ready to go on some mission? Are you a SEAL? No, all you've done in the first week is earned the right to begin to train to become a SEAL. You've earned the right to begin to train to be a SEAL. If you want it enough, you get to begin. If you want it enough, you get to begin. And that's really lesson one of Proverbs chapter 2. It's gut check time. It really is. It's gut check time. It's time to see what you're made of and what do you want. Do you want wisdom? Do you want wisdom? Well, are you willing to accept wisdom's words? Accept. Receive. Not reject them, but accept them. Are you ready to open up your hearts to receive whatever she has to say? They're a gift. They are a gift. My words are a gift, and they're going to challenge you, wisdom says. They're going to demand things of you. They're not the easiest gift of all to receive. They can be blunt. They can be sometimes harsh. They aren't always what we want to hear. But rebuke a wise man, and he will become wiser still. Proverbs 9:8. So how much do you want it? How much do you want it? Are you willing for wisdom to challenge your way of thinking? Are you willing to have your mind changed? To have long, close-held opinions and thoughts and ideas and schemes and plans challenged? Are you ready to say no to a whole line of reasoning that you have believed? Are you willing for wisdom to push out sinful, stupid thoughts? To make room for her thoughts? When was the last time that you had a significant change of mind about something? Well, will you accept her words? Or is the garage of your mind too full? You can't fit anymore. Sorry. No room in the inn. I have my own store of wisdom. I have my own knowledge. I have my own understanding. And that's enough. I really don't have any more room for anything you have to say. I've got, my head is full. I can't accept anymore. Well, do you want it? Again, that's where, this is kindergarten and the Lady Wisdom's school. Do you want it? Do you want it enough to store up my commands? Not advice, wisdom's commands. Do this or don't do that. Wisdom is not necessarily your best friend saying, you know, maybe you should think about doing this. That's not how wisdom comes across. She comes across with great authority. God's commands are wise commands. And we're fools for not believing them. And so will you store them up? That's a treasure word. You store up treasure. You store up memories in your hearts as a treasure. You treasure them, don't we? As we've been moving and in this whole process, it's a real time for nostalgia and thinking about everything that has happened in this house. You treasure those memories. You know, that is the terrible thing about dementia. It's all Alzheimer's. To forget your children, to forget your loved ones, to forget your parents or your grandparents, to forget what your children were like when they were 5 years old. That would be something, that would be to lose something unspeakably precious. You store up these things. We store up treasures. We store up plans. Plans we have for our lives. We store up ideas. Long-held beliefs and thoughts about the way the world works, the way we see ourselves. We store up these things. We store up the truth. We store up things that we think are the truth, but maybe they're not. They're important to us. They're vital to us. They're our treasure. A treasure is what you go back to continually in your mind. Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. He's saying, wherever your treasure is, your heart will find its way to that treasure. Your heart is always checking up on your treasure. Is it doing okay? Is everything intact? Is it growing? Is it safe? Oh, look how beautiful it is. And you gaze upon it, and you love it. Precious, my treasure. Is that how you're going to want wisdom? Are you going to want it more than a miser wants money? Do your ears want it? Turning your ear to wisdom. Does your heart want it? Applying your heart to wisdom. Does your mouth want it? Are you crying out for wisdom? Calling out loud for it? Are you a baby bird opening up your mouth wide, crying for food? It's the most interesting thing. I don't know if it's true for all owl species, but I know at least many owl species, or some, they get kicked out of their nest before they're ready to live on their own. They get kicked out before they're really proficient hunters, before they can provide food for themselves. And so they really can't feed themselves. And so you know what they do? They find a branch, a tree, real close to where their parents are. And so their parents might have a little clutch, a nest full of little babies, but their teenage owl, so to speak, is living in the tree next door. And that owl next door, the teenage owl, not ready to feed himself, just starts calling out, crying out all the time, feed me, Mom and Dad, feed me. And I think just to shut these guys up, Mom and Dad will go feed their teenage owl. And it's nonstop. Is that how much you want wisdom? Do you need it? How much do you want it? You know, I've seen people, at least on TV, lining up at the gas station when the Powerball gets up to $500 million. I've stood in line at Family Express, and there's 10 people in front of me, and they're buying these Powerball tickets. Do you want wisdom more than you want than they want money? Are you willing to work for it? If you're not willing to work for it, then really you don't want it. But that's what he's saying. Look for it for silver. Digging for silver is not easy. Searching for hidden treasure is hard work. Do you want it? I used to watch this show, something about the mystery of Oak Island on History Channel or something like that. And it's really about these two brothers, and they're trying to find it. There's this supposed treasure, this supposed mystery on this little island called Oak Island, I think off the coast of Nova Scotia or somewhere. And these brothers, they call in backhoes, they call in drills, they call in scuba divers to go down into watery places. They call in the radar, they call in the sonar, that all to find this treasure. This thing, this mystery. Now, I quit watching it because they never, ever got around to finding any treasure. It was episode after episode of da-da-da, and they found a bucket. And it might have been a bucket from 1800 or something. But they were desperate. Their whole lives, it seemed, were built around this. Is that how much you want wisdom? She'll teach you as much as you want to learn. She'll teach you as much as you want to learn. God will give you as much as you want to get. And if you don't want it, then don't bother. But if you do want it, then here's how you get it. You accept. You apply. You call. You cry. You look. You see everything's involved. Your heart, your eyes, your hands, your mouth, your ears. All that you are. And let's just stop there for a second. Parents, are you challenging your young people, your teenagers, your children to get wisdom? Challenging them, pressing them, encouraging, cajoling them, pleading with them. Again and again in the first 9 chapters of Proverbs, it's my son, my son, my son, my daughters, listen to me. Get wisdom. And God himself in this book is getting in our face as the Father. And he's not being harsh. He's not that Navy SEAL instructor. But do your young people know how serious you are about this? They might agree or disagree about this, but they know you're dead serious. Well, that's really lesson number one. It's a gut check. It's how much do you want this? If you are willing to search for it, then what it's saying is you're going to find it. Kindergarten level Proverbs is not, though, just you just got to want it. You need to see, though, at a very basic level that's going to be worked out in the next coming chapters and really in all the book, what wisdom will do for you. So we have one big lesson of you got to want it. And number two is, well, you need to see why you should want it and what it will do for you. What will wisdom do for you in a very basic way that's going to be worked out and fleshed out in later chapters. So really here's what's in it for you. This is why you should want it. You got to want it. And here's why you should want it. Rick Horn, one of the men that we support financially at our church, wrote a book about parenting teens. And in that book, he talked about when you're parenting teens, you need to present to them wise wants. Teenagers want things, and some of the things they want are really wise and some are really foolish. But you want to grab a hold of those wise wants. Wise things that you should want for yourself. Now, verses 1 through 4 is if. And now it's time for the then. It's 3 ifs and 5 thens. It's 5 good things that will happen. 5 good reasons why you should really want wisdom. And really, God himself is having a face-to-face and saying, Do you want this? Oh, these are some good things to want. Good things to want for yourself. Well, what's in it for you? Verse 5, the first thing, then you'll understand the fear of the Lord and find knowledge of God. Wow. I think I could just stop there. Isn't that enough? Remember we talked about the fear of the Lord, that beautiful and perfect combination of humility and trust and reverence and love and obedience and hope. You'll find it. You'll find Him. Him. What is wisdom? I've given you this definition of wisdom is understanding the fabric of God's world and living in harmony with it, but also knowing that you'll never completely understand it. Wisdom, though, is the understanding the fabric of God's world. But you can't know the fabric of God's world if you don't know God. If you don't know God, wisdom begins with knowing and fearing God, being rightly related to the God who has made everything in such a way. So in His light, we see light. So you seek wisdom. You seek wisdom with all that you have. Then God promises that you will come to know Him. You'll understand Him. You'll have a relationship with Him. You'll grow in that wonderful combination of fear and love and faith and hope and humbleness, humility. You'll know God. We all want to become more like Him. We all want to know Him. Paul said, I want to know Christ. Well, here's how that happens. Pursue wisdom. Pursue wisdom with all your heart, and you will come to know the God of wisdom. You just won't be clever and have great techniques about living and competence and things like that. It's not a sterile competence that the book of Proverbs is holding out. No, it's about Him. You'll know Him. You'll be living life with Him and knowing Him and rubbing shoulders with Him. You'll be wise. You'll wake up with Him. And in affliction, there'll be a voice behind you in your ear saying, turn right, turn left. He'll teach you success and strength and virtue and character. He holds victory in store for the upright. You'll know God. And you'll know Jesus Christ, the one He sent. You'll have eternal life. That is a wise thing to want. My brothers and sisters, that is such a wonderful thing. And God is holding it out to you. You can have this. Pursue wisdom. And if you weren't a Christian, then you are missing out on knowing and living with a great, good God. In His presence is joy. From His mouth comes wisdom. In His hands are strength and victory and help. The world is dark and dangerous. It does not have your best interest at heart. Young people, growing up is hard. But He can walk you through it. He can walk with you in it. How wonderful it would be, and how wonderful it is to be a teenager. To be a teenager with God as your friend. Being a Christian is not a terrible thing. It is the lights coming on. It's having GPS in a crowded, busy, confusing city. It's having a Father who loves you with you. Now, He's going to call you out sometimes. He's going to discipline you. He's going to press you. And He's going to step on your toes sometimes. But it's only because He takes you so seriously. He takes you so seriously and he loves you so much. Well, you want wisdom? You will get the only wise God. The second thing is verse 9. Then you'll understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. Wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. It's like, what is he saying? Well, the curtains will be thrown back, the sashes thrown back, the cool summer breeze and bright sunshine will flood your heart, and you will know, you will have insight, and you will have discretion. You'll know how to live right. God will teach you to see the difference between a good plan or a bad plan, a bad path, a bad plan, a bad idea, a bad policy, and a good plan, and a good idea, and a good policy, and a good group of people. Knowing what is right and just and fair, now that isn't always the easiest thing. That isn't always the easiest thing. You know, we can have really good intentions. And the book of Proverbs is talking about that. You know, a lot of things are not moral or immoral. We can have really good intentions. We can want to help this poor family, this poor church, this poor community. And you give them help. And you do it cheerfully. You do it willingly with good intentions. And you will ruin their lives if you do it in the wrong way. You'll hurt them and you'll hurt yourself. And that's why there are books called When Helping Hurts. It hurts you and it hurts them. So you think it's always easy? It's not. Do you think it's always easy for Jackie Barr to know how to help people at the Women's Care Center? Problems are hard. Life is messy. People are complicated. Things are not simple. And if you think they are, then you have no idea. You have no idea. It's because you're sitting, you're not sitting knee to knee with them. You don't have any idea. You don't see all the dynamics at work. But here is wisdom for those moments when you need to know what is the right thing to do, the right path to take, the best way to do something, the best way to say something, the best thing to do in a hard moment. Here is wisdom saying, I will teach you. I will not only help you to do the right thing, I will help you to do it in the right way. The right thing that will be good for you and good for them. Now, how much is that worth? When life is messy and it's complicated and you need to do something, but the way is not so clear. And wisdom says, I'll help you. That's a wonderful thing. That wisdom promises. Here's the third. Third result is that wisdom will keep you from wicked men. We've already talked about that in chapter 1. From their paths. From their crooked words. And their crooked paths. Now, we need to be very clear here. It's not particularly talking about dirty words or bad words. That's not really the point. These men can be impressive. They can be convincing. Their words and their paths will seem right, but the end is death. I could give you examples. Horrifying examples. Of men who have painted themselves and the things that they're selling as good and right. And they talk about things like Jesus and family and patriotism. And they are just words to cloak their greed and their sexual immorality. These men can be impressive, they can be convincing, they can lead many astray. You remember Hopeful and Christian when they followed the flatterer, he led them on a path that only ever so slowly turned them around. But when he finally revealed himself, they were in a net, in a path, facing the exact opposite direction. They should have gone the exact wrong way. And again, These are not men who necessarily use bad words or dirty words or blatantly evil. We're talking about men that turn the fabric of God's world inside out. They turn what is up, down, and down, up. They use words, good words, in bad ways. I just mentioned that. They use family and Jesus and patriotism. And they use words like grace when they really mean license. Brothers and sisters, they use good things in crooked ways. Not everyone who says, "Lord, Lord," does what he says. The Pharisees wore robes of righteousness, and they wore them as cloaks for evil. But wisdom will give you, this is what it's saying, wisdom will give you the nose to smell them out. They are perfumed pigs. They're perfumed pigs. They're those teenage boys who, after PE, just spray on some deodorant instead of taking a shower. Wisdom will smell them out, and discretion will protect you. There'll be something in the way they say the things they say, something in the way they carry themselves, something that wisdom will be able to sniff out. And you might not be able to put your finger on it, but there'll be something there that will say, I need to hold myself back from this person. I need to hold myself back from these people. I've seen that happen in churches too, where they knew that something was not quite right, but they couldn't tell you exactly what it was, and only later did they find out what was really going on. But wisdom protected them. It kept them from giving their hearts to this person. And if you don't think you need that kind of protection, then you are what we were talking about a week ago. You are the petit, the simple, the naive, the uncommitted. You see, the prudent see danger and they take refuge. The fool keeps going and suffers for it. The fool does not see legitimate danger. There's a lot of talk about fear and in this context of the coronavirus. And we shouldn't be afraid of this, and we shouldn't be afraid of that. And I'm not here to talk about those things. I'm just saying, not all fear is bad. There are wise things to be afraid of. The prudent see danger, and they take refuge. And there are foolish things to be afraid of. The sluggard says, there's a lion in the street. There's no lion in the street. It's an excuse. It's this fear that makes him lazy, that excuses his laziness. There are wise fears and there are foolish fears. And the point is wisdom will keep you from crooked men. Now here's the fourth thing. There is safety from the adulteress. Now it's amazing how much we're going to run into this woman in the first 9 chapters of the book of Proverbs. And so this woman who's married, and yet at the same time, she is a prostitute. She's no better than a prostitute, and she behaves in such a way as a prostitute. And we meet her so often, I don't want to give away too much right here and right now and go into great detail. But I do want to just point out that just as there is financial wisdom in the book of Proverbs, and just as there's relational wisdom in the book of Proverbs, there is sexual wisdom. Now, maybe those aren't categories that usually put together sex and wisdom, but Proverbs does frequently. And actually, the book of the Song of Songs is all about married sexual wisdom. So men search. They search through the book of Proverbs looking for tips about finances. They'd never buy a lottery ticket. They'd never not save or invest. But they're complete fools in the category of sexual wisdom. So they strain out the gnats and they swallow the camel. Because look, her house leads down to death. Her basement is hell. And so they pierce themselves with 100 arrows. They ruin their families. They ruin their marriages. They ruin their careers. They ruin their finances, their ministries, their reputations, all because they are sexual idiots, fools. Either they are petit in that area, simple, they don't know, or they have embraced folly and they are now fools. But wisdom, God's wisdom, includes sexual wisdom, and it will keep you from grasping the siren. Maybe you remember high school literature class, and Odysseus is out on the seas, and his ship goes by the sirens. They're beautiful women on the top and terrible monsters on the bottom. That's exactly what these women are. And really, that's what the men are too. People who would grab you and bring you in to sexual sin. Men and women, young men, young women, don't be wise in every other area and a fool in this area. Because what it's going to say is you're heaping burning coals into your lap. You are going to walk on fire and you will be scorched and burned and scarred and maimed for life. Because sexual folly is one of the most devastating kinds. It is the most seductive, the most tempting, the most grasping, the most powerful. You just cannot be a sexual fool and prosper. So cry out for wisdom to see the fabric of God's world. And part of that beautiful fabric is godly sexuality. So fools twist that fabric to their own destruction. The wise person keeps to the good path. The fifth thing is, if you cry out for wisdom, if you want it and you look for it, what you will find is that you will find yourself in the company of the wise. You will find yourself among the company of the wise. You'll walk in the ways of good men. You'll enjoy life. You'll flourish. He who walks with the wise grows wise, but the companion of fools suffers harm. So you cry out for wisdom and you start pursuing it and you start finding yourself more. And what you'll find is you'll start finding yourself more and more in the company of the wise, with those who really know how to live. They talk about the fools have nothing to say at the gate. That is, when important things are being discussed, they don't have anything productive or helpful to say. They might have something to say, but they're quickly ignored and quickly silenced. They don't belong with the wise. But here, this is what this is promising. You will find yourself among the wise and in those who are walking on the good paths. You won't be at the kids' table anymore. They'll call you up to sit with the grown-ups. See, this pursuit, and this is where this is just one of the hints that we have, but this pursuit of wisdom is not a singular one. It's not just you. It's not just you and God. It is a community project. It's done with other people. It's something that we do with others. And so the Father is saying to his son or to his daughter, God the Father is saying to us, join us. Join us and start to live. Leave your childish ways behind and come and sit up here with us. That is the invitation. That is the invitation to everyone listening, to everyone watching. Right now, God is inviting you. And really, all the wise are inviting you as well to join Jesus and to live with him, to walk with him, who is wisdom himself. To taste life, to really flourish. That's the the invitation. You got to want it. And here are why. Here are some really good reasons that you should want it. The complacency of fools, that's how we ended chapter 1. The complacency of fools will destroy them. This laid back, good enough, don't need it. It will destroy them. Now here we are doing the exact opposite. Your passionate pursuit and desire for wisdom will bring you life, flourishing in every way. I just pray that God would take this invitation and drive it into your heart and make you want it really as much as He wants it for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the book of Proverbs. Thank you for the clarity that we have in this book, for its simplicity and its power, for its promise. Thank you that in it we are invited into the Trinity itself, into the company of the only wise God. And we are called into the company of good men who have lived before us and who are living now and who will live after, who are wise and good and know how to live. You're so good to us. We're sinners, we're fools, we're full of ourselves. And yet, here you are calling us in such grace to find wisdom, to find life. And we begin, we find it when we come to Jesus. And so, Lord Jesus, present yourself to our souls once again and give us that grace of faith that will lay a hold of you. And in laying hold of you, make us wise unto eternal life. I pray for our young people. I pray for our teenagers. Make them wise. In Jesus' name, I do pray for His sake that He would have young people who are smart, who are wise, who are godly, who are ready to face the world, who are not fools, not simple, but committed to you. I pray this for His sake. He deserves young people like that. Amen.